El colectivo Raíces presenta su programa
Espejos de Aztlán.
Información,
arte,
cultura.
Bienvenidos.
This is Adam Aguirre of the Raíces Collective for Espejos de Aztlán. Thank you for joining us. On December 18, 2013, a large fire started within the Conservatory of the Flamenco Arts at the National Institute of Flamenco in downtown Albuquerque. The fire quickly engulfed the building, which now appears to be an almost total loss. We were concerned for our friends and with their long-term mission within our community and beyond. So we went to the site of the fire and met with Eva Encinas Sandoval, founder of the Institute, and with Marisa Magallanes, director of business and philanthropy, and found the spirit of the Institute and the flamenco itself to be alive and well in downtown Albuquerque. I'm out the southwest corner of Gold and 2nd Street in downtown Albuquerque, home of the National Conservatory of Flamenco Arts, or at least what's left of it. Outside there are chairs, a couple of church-style pews, some paintings, a stack of what you would call flamenco dresses, and a bouquet of yellow roses laying on the sidewalk not feet from a pile of glass, brick, ash, and rubble. From the front door, you can see clear out what used to be a side door into a parking lot full of what used to be the building.
What a mess our building is. Yeah, they did do some more takedown, didn't they?
I couldn't help but wonder what it was like to have been there that day, the week before Christmas. I mean, I couldn't think of a worse time than the week before Christmas. The loss of the building, I'm sure, is what you would call devastating. But I wondered more about what the toll was on the individuals who were here that day or who are here every day. And so that's why I wanted to come down and do the interview. I'm here with Marisa Magallanes. One of the key questions that I would ask you is, how do you see the organization bouncing back from something like this?
I think that there's, you know, a huge community need for flamenco, and with the physical loss of the building, the outpour of community support has made why flamenco matters really evident to us. And I think that that was something that we've always, you know, as we try to seek community support and build this nonprofit, we've always said, you know, what is so critical about flamenco? And I think, in my estimation, we know the answer to that and how many lives it touched, or it touches, it continues to touch. I think from a logistical perspective of next steps, you know, certainly we have a festival to produce in June. We have our conservatory and our community classes to reinstate, and our plans to do so are on January 22nd at space at the University of New Mexico and at Tierra Adentro, our charter school. On a long-term level, I feel bouncing back it's not even an option not to bounce back. I think what we have always dreamt about is building a headquarters in Albuquerque for flamenco in the United States. And that has been our quest for several years now, and much more crucial and necessary at this point because we've lost the physical location of our institute. And so as we begin to rebuild and create strategic plans for the long-term facility needs of the organization, I think that we want to come back in a way that is a landmark for Albuquerque and develop that site.
We always start 2000 and whatever with cutting loose of the old things that are holding us back and promising a fresh start, but I guess it doesn't get any fresher than this.
No,
is it discouraging, or how do you find hope? How do you find the bright side of 2014 as it approaches?
I think that certainly there's a devastation in the loss. I mean, standing here looking at the remains of the building, you know, you can't help but not feel sad and feel that kind of loss. But at the same time, I mean, I see more than ever the resiliency of flamenco and the resiliency of the organization and the artists and the staff that work within the National Institute of Flamenco. And I feel like the only option is hope, because there is even a total devastation like this fire still leads to what are we doing tomorrow? And I think that was probably the most immediate response from all of our artists and our staff, saying, okay, we're meeting tomorrow at 10, the day after the fire, and you start rebuilding, because I think we realize how critical this culture and flamenco is in Albuquerque and beyond. Our work goes into an international scope, and hope, I feel, was the only answer.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you, Marisa. Marisa, okay. Of course, is a very, very central person in our organization. She's was our general manager for many years, and now she works sort of more in the area of development and philanthropy. You know, she's a key player in the organization. Thank you.
This is Adán Aguirre. I'm in downtown Albuquerque on the southwest corner of 2nd and Gold Southwest. And I'm looking at what once was the National Conservatory for Flamenco Arts. I'm here with Eva Enseñas Sandoval, founder. Eva, what can you say? I wanted to come down here because, of course, I'd heard on the 18th of December about the fire that had quickly gone from being contained in a relatively small space to what was being reported is actually consuming the entire building. I was curious, and I wanted to come down here and see for myself, because for the last 10 years, I had worked down here in downtown Albuquerque and had passed by here every day, but I hadn't been down here in a few months. My thoughts that day were of the building itself and what it stood for, but coming the week before Christmas, I was also concerned about the staff and members of the Institute and how personally they had been affected or had dealt with this. But first of all, tell us a little bit about the history of the Institute, how you founded it, and how it came to be in this location.
Well, it has a beautiful history in this particular location, I think. Of course, I started studying flamenco with my mother, Clarita, who was a beautiful flamenco dancer, singer, entertainer. In her old building there on Edith and Candelaria, and my whole family studied flamenco, and flamenco was just completely part of who we were as a family for generations. And I started the Institute back in 1985 when I had already been on the faculty at the university for many years teaching flamenco, but had wanted to have a flamenco performing company, and so I started what was Ritmo Flamenco in 1985. Eventually, that ended up becoming sort of a more of an umbrella organization, because I started to realize the need much beyond having a performing company, but to really facilitate and help to produce flamenco projects. And this conservatory that was housed in this building was a very important part of that process. In 1999, the Institute, which had been mainly housed at the university, really needed to start to have its own home. And at the same time, both of my children, who were professional dancers, felt that it was important that we have a school in the community, because although the university program was fantastic, it was really specific for university students. And clearly there was a desire, a need, an afición in the community for the art form. And so they felt it was important that we open a school. And we felt that that would be wonderful, because at the same time that it could house our school, it could also house the Institute. It could be a place where we could have our offices and really have a very vibrant community presence to be able to do the work that we felt needed to be done. So we started looking for space, And I've always loved downtown. I'm an Albuquerque native, and there was a time when downtown was very, very vital here in Albuquerque. So we started looking, and coincidence, I don't know, being what it is, it just so happened that my mother's mural was painted on the side of this building. And it had, you know, I had noticed it there for years. I had seen it and was very proud of some of the very important Albuquerque figures were painted there. And she had a beautiful representation of her energy on this building. And it just so happened that when we were looking, this building was for lease. And we looked at it, and it actually lent itself perfectly to what we needed. And so we knew that that's where we were supposed to be, only to find out years later that my uncle, who actually taught my mother, had his studio right on the opposite corner of this building. So we just felt that this was where we needed to be, and we loved it here. We were here for 15 years. And I thank you for considering, I mean, of course, the devastation of a fire, as you say, is terrible at any time of the year. But this was a time of the year where we were celebrating a wonderful year of programming. We had just finished our recital of hundreds of our students performing for their families at the University of New Mexico. We'd done, I think it was one of the best recitals ever. As directors, my children and I were talking about how proud we were of our students and how far they had come and how well we felt that our curriculum was working. And you know, it was just really a wonderful time of celebration. And then for this to happen that very next week was just devastating for us. We were, at the same time, we were very fortunate that we had finished our year, that our classes were not happening in the building that week, because Wednesday at 4 o'clock, when this whole thing started, our building would have been full of children. And I thank the Lord that we had finished our semester. There was no one in the building but our staff, and we were able to get out of the building very quickly. But it was a time that we were celebrating the efforts of our work throughout the year, the efforts of 15 years of work in this building. And we were feeling really, really good about that. And then for this to happen, for sure, it was devastating to us, and
How about for the staff members that were here that day?
Oh,
how did
absolutely.
They handle that?
Many of them have been with us for many, many years. Marisa, who you just spoke to, Marisa Magallanes, has been with us going on 10 years. And, you know, the people who work for us are very invested in what we do. I don't want to say that that isn't the case with other businesses, but you really, to work for an organization, an arts organization, and then specifically a flamenco organization, there's a level of buy-in that is necessary to really understand the direction of the projects that we do. And the people who work for us are, they become like family. And so we were all just completely standing right here on the corner watching our building go down. And as you say, it started, the first early reports were that the fire was contained and that they were going to be able to stop it. And as it went on and just started getting bigger and bigger, it was very, very challenging for the firemen to be able to do their work. And so it quickly, within 20 to 30 minutes, we started to realize, oh my God, this is going to take the whole building. And we were hoping it wasn't going to take the whole block. So, you know, we're still stunned. Of course, our staff, being as wonderful as it is, they were ready. They went back to work the next day at 10 o'clock at our charter school. We have a charter school, Tierra Adentro, up on Central and Ash. So immediately, of course, the principal of the school said, come on, we'll open up our offices. You're welcome to do whatever needs to be done. So our staff 10 o'clock on that Thursday morning, we're there starting to do what was necessary to make sure that our business, our school, our festival, all the things that the community support that was coming in from all over, that they were going to be there ready to respond and do whatever it took to be able to move forward. So that was very encouraging to my children and I, because we know that we're not in this alone, that our community supports what it is that we've been doing over the many, many years, not just in our generation, but also my mother. I believe that all of this is possible because of the passion that my mother imparted to her family for this beautiful art form. And, you know, we love flamenco. It's very much a part of who we are. But it isn't strictly the art of flamenco that we are invested in, but we're invested in education. That we use flamenco because that is the tool, the art form that has been given to us. But even more important than that is that we're invested in education of our community on many, many levels, from early childhood education to community education for people of all levels and all ages. And we have to continue. I mean, that's what we do. We're flamenco artists. And as one of our students brought to my attention the other day, when some of our children's group met here and danced outside the building, they said, as long as we have our teachers and we have flamenco, we can do that anywhere. So that reminded us that it lives in us. It doesn't live in a building.
You're listening to Espejos de Aslan. I'm your host, Adán Aguirre. And with us tonight, Eva Enseñas Sandoval of the National Institute of Flamenco. I was checking out the Facebook page just before this interview, and I noticed a lot of activity. But in general, what's the response and the reaction been from the community at large and the flamenco community, or the dance community in specific, here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, in response to the fire?
They want to help in whatever way they can. They want to open up their, of course, people in the dance community want to open up their studios to us if we need space for our classes. Businesses want to help with resources, office equipment, furniture that may be needed. They want to lend a hand if we need to paint. They want to help us put in floors, hang mirrors, whatever is necessary, they want to help us do. Unfortunately, it takes time to get a plan into place to be able to respond to their anxious need to be of help to us. And so we're doing that as quickly as we can. And it's overwhelming to see the kind of response that we've gotten on a local level, on a national level, and on an international level. The flamenco community on an international level, they're in contact with us from Spain, from across the world, saying, how can we help? We know how important your programming is, how important you are to your community, but to the flamenco community as a whole. How can we help? So we want to receive that help, because that completes that cycle, right? That spirit of giving. As saddened as we are by this terrible experience, we are also very encouraged, because we know that time will get us into a space, will help us to find the resources that we're going to need to be able to move forward in a bigger and better way, I hope. Arts organizations always have challenges, right? We live in an economy in this country, but across the world, that makes it very challenging for any artist to be able to do their art. But I believe that one of the things that has made us successful is we do have such a wonderful community that is very invested in what we do. And they'll stay with us and they'll do whatever it takes to make sure that the Institute can continue.
Eva, this is the first time that we've ever met, and let me ask you this. We're less than a week after Christmas. Who knows what anybody can want or expect for Christmas? But I'm standing here with you, and I feel this energy. I don't feel this this hopelessness or this despair. Not that I expected to, but I feel this energy, and that's amazing. It's remarkable, because we're looking across the street at what can only be called just total devastation. And I don't sense that in any way dampens your spirit or keeps you down.
No, not at all. We were raised as fighters. My mother was a very strong woman, and she raised us to be very resourceful and to never take no as an answer, that there's always a way to solve a problem. If not the most direct, logical way, to just be persistent and keep looking for answers. And so I think that there's a resilience in our family that has proven the test of time and challenges. And we look at this as, yes, is it going to take time and energy? Are we going to have to work really hard? Absolutely. But we have boundless energy. And that goes for my family, and it goes to all the people that are in our community. I think they pick up on that energy, and they admire it, and they respect it, and feed on that as well, and in a very, very good way. And so, you know, I'm not discouraged. I'm saddened, for sure. There was emotional connection that I had in this building, in this facility, that I felt that we were where we needed to be. And now that has changed. Now we have to go on and find another home for our institute. And I believe that it will be everything that we will replace everything that we had eventually and end up in yet a better place than we were where we started. So I look forward to the unknown, and we'll see where that takes us.
Looking southwest from the corner of 2nd and Gold at what once used to be that building, it's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. It is. And I love Albuquerque. I love New Mexico. And I think that we have very special people here. And people who understand art, understand flamenco, understand family in a way that I think is special. I've done a lot of traveling, and I've never really found anything like New Mexico. And I believe that in a time like this, it has afforded the opportunity for so many people who have so many good wishes for us as a family and as artists to step forward and lend a hand. And there's, you know, that is something that is invaluable, to see the depth of love in the people that we are surrounded with, and just experience that in a firsthand way. I'm sorry that it had to be through an experience like this, but sometimes that's what it takes.
As the Institute looks forward to 2014 and rebuilding, how can people keep in touch or keep track of that process, or if perhaps they want to get involved in whatever capacity they can, how can they do that?
Well, going to our website is probably the most direct way of doing that, nationalinstituteofflamenco.org. We have on there links to find out information about various ways of being updated or helping, volunteering. So going to our website is definitely the best way to go. We are looking to do some Hijastros, which is one of our very important projects that the Institute produces. Their season is in April at the NHCC, so I think that we have decided that that will be the forum for us to do our performance fundraisers, because so many artists have said we want to donate our art to help recuperate the loss of the Institute. So we think that that would be a great way for us to be able to bring artists together from all over and have some beautiful performances at the National Hispanic Cultural Center and just, you know, start that performance momentum, which that's what we do. We're performers, and we love the art form, and so I think that that'll be a great way to build up some good momentum through the artists here in Albuquerque and New Mexico.
The show must go on.
The show must go on, that's right. And will.
Eva Enseñas Sandoval, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your wanting to do this interview.
A pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Pleasure to meet you. Gracias.